How is it with your soul? Our siblings in Christ who follow the ways of the Methodists say that John Wesley asked this question often in small group settings, and I've had Methodists today ask me this: how is it with your soul? It's an important question. It's a much heftier question than how are you doing or how's it going. But it's not a question that gets asked a lot in our world. It is a question, I think, that we ignore at our own peril. So, how is it with your soul? Now, I know variations of this question get asked around here at Daughters of the King meetings and other group meetings of small group ministries like Geography of Grace and Faith Exploration. Sometimes we even ask it in vestry meetings. Not that specific question, but questions like that. Questions designed to help you listen to your own soul, to help you discover your own soul and all of its longings. And maybe we need to start asking it more often. Try it out when you gather together with two or three others over coffee, or at the start of meetings, take some time, or at the dinner table with close family and friends, take some time and ask, how is it with your soul? What would change, I wonder, if we asked that of one another more regularly? And then, and here's the key, because it's not just asking the question, what if we asked it and then listened? I mean, really listened to the response, because it's a two-part exercise, asking and then listening. Let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak, advises James, and boy, how often do we get that turned around? We are quick to speak and slow to listen in our culture, but there is real power and grace in listening to someone else's story, in listening to someone else revealing or struggling with how it is with their soul. Recently, a friend of mine, a priest in another diocese, had an encounter in a grocery store that he told me about. He was on his way home, and he stopped in at the store, and because he was on his way home, he had his collar on, and a man came up to him and said, "How can you priests come out in public after all the stuff in the news?" Referring, of course, to the most recent horrible allegations of clergy misconduct and cover-ups. And my friend, very courageously and very wisely, and very calmly replied, "Would you like to talk about it, or do you just want to be angry with me? Because I'd be okay with either one." The man ranted at him for what was probably 30 seconds, but I'm sure it felt much, much longer. And my friend did nothing but listen. And when he was done, my friend simply said, "I didn't do any of those things in the report. And I agree that it's horrible. And I'm upset about it, and I'm sorry that the church and its clergy has let you down. I'm sorry." He said the man just stood there. And so my friend asked, "Are you okay?" And the man slowly said, "Yes, thanks for letting me vent. I mean, I don't even know you, Father." To which my friend replied, "That's okay. We'll get through this somehow. I'm glad that you said something. Let's pray for all the victims, okay?" And the man said, "I will." And then he said, "God bless you, Father," and left. Both of these men were shaken by this encounter, but they were both somehow more whole after it, because a soul had been revealed and had been listened to. A soul had spoken and had been heard. So how is it with your soul? Be quick to listen and slow to speak. It's a powerful combination. Now, of course, my friend was able to do this kind of listening and being with a person in a very difficult situation, not because they have a collar on and are endowed with some kind of magic properties. My friend was able to do it because he practices, because he trains, because he has committed time and effort to listening to his own soul and to the soul stories of others. It's really not all that mysterious. It's just practice. It's the way of love. Those practices that I introduced way back in July, if you remember those. There's still handouts about it on the back table back there. We can all do this. And asking how is it with your soul is a way of supporting and strengthening those kinds of practices. So try it out. Ask it of yourself. How is it with my soul? And listen for the response. Practice asking it of others and listening for the response. Of course, I also wonder which one of those is harder to do. Is it harder to ask others, or is it harder to ask ourselves? See, in many ways, I think it might be harder to ask that question of ourselves, because I think very often we don't want to know what's going on with our own souls, because we're afraid of what we might find there. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Well, that's true. And then there's that list of all those things that we all know is in us. Folly and pride, envy, deceit, and even the big ticket items, right? The really, really bad stuff, even if they don't describe our past or present actions, we all know that we're just a few terrible steps of bad luck away from all of them. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. We know that it's all in here. So, better not look at it. Just keep a lid on it. I mean, what if I ask, how's my soul, and I don't like what I hear? I know that this was one of my fears when I first became aware of the voice of my own soul, when I started very tentatively at first to listen to it. I remember very clearly thinking, okay, what if I go looking for my soul and I either can't find it or I don't like what I find? Right? What if I discover my true self and it turns out I'm a word I can't say from the pulpit? Well, here's a little bit of truth that I have discovered in my journey. When you start to listen to your own soul story and the soul story of others, you will come across all of that dark stuff. Pride, yep. Envy, folly, awful lot of folly. A good bit of deceit. But, you will also discover grace and hope and joy and resilience and copious generosity and abundant strength. It's all there. And God is there as well, working with you to transform it all. See, I actually disagree with James on this point. I don't think that it's fruitful to try to rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. Now, it's important not to act on those feelings of anger and envy and avarice. Try not to be deceitful, all of that. But simply trying to get rid of that stuff, it doesn't work. And you end up getting rid of or covering up all of the positive stuff too. I have found it much better to ask God to help me transform the negatives so that they don't deform me and my relationships. And since I'm trying to be not deceitful up here, here's another little piece of truth that I've discovered. As practices go, asking about what your soul and the soul of others is up to, what it really longs for, and really listening to and absorbing those responses, as a practice, it is not the easiest one in the world. But it is one of the most rewarding. It takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes commitment. But I'm not going anywhere. And we've got time. And we have the capacity to do it. And we have the abundance of God's grace to guide us. And it is a path to God's future. So, let's begin. How is it with your soul?